Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. In God, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In today's message, now is the time for redemption. Pastor Joel shares the power we have through redemption.
Now is the time for redemption, okay? That's the name of it. And if you don't know, redemption means salvation, to be delivered from sin, basically. To be redeemed is to be reconciled to God. That means to be brought back to God, if you will. And you see, friends, as you know, we all live in a world of sin, all right? Those of you who are saved, those of us who are saved, understand that the concept of, we understand the concept of sin probably a little better than people who are unsaved, okay? Because when you're not saved, you just live life the way you choose to live it, and you accept things as they are, thinking that, hey, that's just the way it is. So quite naturally, when you become saved, you have a better concept, I would say, of sin. And you know why? Because you've received the teachings. You received the teachings of the Holy Bible, and the Holy Bible is the inerrant Word of God. That means that it is infallible. There are no mistakes, contrary to what you hear from people, okay, who says that this Bible was made by men's hands. Some people will say that. But as you read the Bible, as you learn, you'll know that everything in here was fashioned by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, if you go to 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it'll tell you that no prophecy of Scripture came from man. No prophecy. It says that these thoughts never came from the will of man, but God directed their hands, okay? So, and think about it. If you were God and there was a book coming out about you, and you had all power in your hand that you could say, be, and the world came, and you spoke it into existence, would you let them put something in there that's not true about you? No, you wouldn't, okay? So I rest my case. A lot of times we take the Bible out of context and people don't understand because they have different versions in King James and the whole bit. Remember who's in control? God, not King James or anybody else, okay? It's God. So we know that the inerrant Word of God. But even those who are unsaved and unchurched can plainly see that we live in a world of sin. It's a sin-infested world. You ever heard the phrase, boy, you in a lot of hurt. That's how we are in this world. We're in for a lot of hurt because we are in a world that's headed for destruction. It's a sin-plagued world. And in Romans 8:21 and 22, the Bible says the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Yeah, it says that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. So can you imagine if all of creation, all the plants, all the vegetation, all the insects and the animals know, are waiting for the revelation of Christ and the children of God. We as people have got to know that we're living in perilous times. Amen? You mean a dog knows more than we do? You ever seen it when there's an earthquake and before it comes, the dogs start, they start howling? I was in the San Francisco earthquake back in the 80s, and the dogs were howling and running back and forth. Well, the Bible says it. It says it right here. All of creation is aware of these things, and all of creation labors with birth pangs waiting to come into the glorious liberty that God has for His children. So they're saying, come on, you all, let's get this going. Let's get this right. You all need to be, your dog ever look at you and say, just look at you. He's saying, come on now, get right. So again, the Bible tells us, it tells us in 1 John 2:17 that this world is passing away and the lust of it, okay? The lust of it, meaning the wickedness of it and the sin which is contained in it. It goes on to say, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, I want you to know that that's the redeemed. That's the redeemed. Those that are redeemed, those who are set apart to do the will of God, those are the ones. They're saved or redeemed. Those are the only ones who will abide forever. That's what the word is telling us, okay? So that means to abide with the Lord God forever in eternity, in heaven, in other words, okay? So let me explain more completely to those who may not know, those who are watching, who may be as I was 14 years ago when I didn't know Jesus and I didn't believe in Jesus, and no man could tell me that God had to die for mankind. It didn't make sense. See, I didn't get it. If he's God, what's he doing dying? Next question, you know, and that's how I felt about it. Oh, but he put me like Paul on Straight Street, okay? So if you just give God the opportunity, he will reveal himself to you. So I want to go into this for those, not so much if you all know it already, but there may be some things that the Lord is going to say that that you need to know as well. But I want to go to our Bibles, and I want to speak on this to explain more completely to those who may not know what it means to be redeemed and how redemption works, okay? We may not get to all of it today, but I do want to start on it. It's sort of a short haul today because of communion. But I'm going to enlist the aid of my wonderful, wonderful wife and co-pastor, Miss Annalisa Jones. I call her Annalisa Butterfly Jones, to please take us to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and please read for us verses 3 to 12, if you will.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Verse 7 says, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Mm-hmm. Verse 9 tells us, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all one and all things in Christ. He might gather together and one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. Mm-hmm. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Mm-hmm. Final verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory.
All righty. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So we see that as this text explains, it explains in detail just what redemption in Christ entails. Okay. And starting at verse 3 and going forward, we see that God, our Father, has chosen to give us, it says, every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You're getting an idea of what redemption is. Now, he's giving us every blessing. Okay? And as we get into this, you'll see what a rigorously wonderful gift it is to receive redemption, to be redeemed, okay? Right there, right off the bat, he's given us it. That, I don't need to hear anymore, really, because it says right here, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That means what you've got down here doesn't compare to what he's got for you up there. He's got so much more for you, even when you don't see it, even though you have to walk through this natural, he's got every spiritual blessing for us. Now, it starts off, that, and that's just the start in the heavenly places. And in 4 and 5, it's the Word of God says that before the foundation of the world, get this now, before the foundation of the world, God had predestined that we should be adopted as sons and daughters, okay? Predestined, predetermined before he made the earth, before he fashioned the earth, before he formed the waters. He knew, he had predestined that every one of us sitting in here should be sons of God. He had predestined it before you even told a lie, before you were born, before your mother and father had joined together to create you. God said, these are the ones that are going to be my sons and daughters. That's important, okay? That we should be adopted as sons by Christ Jesus. And it says, to the praise and glory of God the Father, that he delights in us, that I want to delight in you, and you should delight in me. I have a plan for you already, that you're going to be redeemed gloriously and beautifully to me, reconciled to me. Now, this was before the fall. This was before Adam and Eve messed up. It was before the flood. God knew what he wanted, okay? Man. Now, this text of Scripture goes on to say that in this process, we do what? We obtain an inheritance. I don't know about you, but my mother had 13 kids. My parents, there were 13 of us. And I slept on the floor until I was 7. Then I graduated to the couch as the older children. Then I made it to the bed with my 3 brothers. And then, you know, so I woke up and, you know, your elbow in your face and a foot in your mouth and everything else. I never had an inheritance, you all. And my family, you got out and got a job, okay? You wrote yourself a happy birthday note, okay? But God says, because you've been redeemed, you've obtained an inheritance. And it's better than any inheritance you could get on this earth. Don't let the world fool you. Don't let the green grass fool you. The God's inheritance is much loftier, much more grand than anything we ever inherit in the world. This mic is skipping, so when it skips, I'm just going to skip right on and repeat it. So don't worry about it. The devil's not going to interfere. So obviously, this is all good. Think about it. Our Heavenly Father has created a way for all of mankind to be redeemed, to be saved by his grace, regardless of the sinful state which we find ourselves or have found ourselves in prior to meeting Jesus Christ. Because like I said, I was a sinner up 14 years ago. 14 years ago, I was still in sin. I didn't know the Lord. Now, see, I didn't really consider myself that bad. But now that I know the Lord, I was that bad. And at least I was that bad. So this is a wonderful thing that God does, that some of us are ignorant. Some of us are stuck in our ways. Some of us are stuck in sin. We've been doing it so long that we're almost impervious to it. And God still says, I'm going to offer this to you. I still offer you redemption. You can be redeemed. You can be changed. I see value in you. You see what I mean? And we don't even know it. Sometimes we give up on ourselves. We just give up on ourselves. You know, they called you stupid for so long that you just feel stupid. Kids in school going to the principal's office because they sent them there and they don't understand them. And these children feel like they're not going to be they're not going to be anything worthwhile in life. So they take on that, they wear that jacket. But here comes God saying, take it off. Take off that jacket. I'm going to put on you a coat of righteousness through redemption. It comes in redemption. And that's why he says that. That's why we pose the question, you know, about redemption. The time is now for redemption, to be changed. So God redeems us by his grace, takes us out of that sinful state. That's a wonderful gift. Now, and it didn't cost us anything, does it? Does it cost you anything to be redeemed? Is salvation free? It's free. He offers it to you, right? It's free if you don't know. He says it's free. So it didn't cost you anything. It didn't cost us anything. Who did it cost? It cost Jesus, didn't it? It cost him something. He had to go to the cross. It cost him a lot. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Pastor, can you read that one for us, please? 2 Corinthians 5:21. What does it say?
2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him."
He made him. Thank you, Pastor. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He made the sinless lamb take the hit for us. He made him pay our bill. I'm not proud of it, but when I was little, we go down the street in Chicago, and me and my little buddies, you know, 12, 10, we once in a while, not a lot, but we did, we would order food at a nice restaurant and we didn't have the money. And so a group of us would like get little burgers and stuff. And then we would, as we finished the meal, one would excuse himself from going to the restroom. He'd go to the restroom and go out the back door. And then we would do that, and then we'd laugh and joke about it. I repent, Lord, for that now. But, you see, we couldn't pay for the meal. Now, Jesus comes along and pays your debt. He pays your sin debt off. You ever been in trouble, financial woes, where you owe more on your credit card than you can pay? And Jesus comes and wipes the slate clean. He takes the hit for us. It's like you're being getting ready to do time or go on death row. And they say, "We're going to take you to the electric chair." And Jesus steps in and says, "Excuse me. I'm taking his place. Take me instead." And he gives us, he did that so that we could have redemption. That we could be saved. Do you understand how, that's how big that is. Although it costs us nothing to receive this gracious gift of salvation, it sure did cost Jesus. It cost him, okay? So then, Christ paid our sin debt, which was death. And it's written in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through whom? Christ Jesus. So he had to do what he had to do in order for us to be saved. The wages of sin is death. It says in Hebrews 9:22 as well as Leviticus 17:11 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So Jesus had to shed his blood. His blood had to be shed for us. And he could have come down off that cross anytime he wanted, but he said, "No, the stakes are too high." He carried it through. So that's big to me. That's big to me. And I'm telling you all this. You all probably know this. You know this, but some people don't. See, some people believe, they don't believe in Jesus. They believe in God. They believe in different gods. They believe in religion. No, we're not talking religion now. We're talking about the one true God. I want you all to know that who are watching. Nobody else did this. Nobody else could do it. Buddha couldn't do it. Buddha didn't want any of this. Buddha said, "I just want peace. I don't know why they put me up there in the first place." Gandhi, anybody else, Muhammad couldn't do this. No, Muhammad couldn't go to the cross and die for you and come back and show himself to 500 people, be raised from the dead. It took the sinless Lamb of God. And you can check this, check your religion, check your scriptures, check and find out. If you're going to follow something, please make sure it's true. Because if you find one lie in this Bible, then it's no good. Okay, there is no inconsistency. You might not understand it, but there is no inconsistency in this Bible that Jesus is the living God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Alpha and the Omega. There is nobody else. Wherever Muhammad is now, I pray that he found Jesus before he went through, because Jesus is there for all mankind. And we've got to know that this is the truth. This is the truth. We get misconstrued with religion and different religiosities and men's doctrines, but this is God's holy word and is true. There is no other. There is no other. So he went to the cross for us, and he was the only one that could do it. Talks about it in Revelation. It talks about the Lamb. Who can open the scroll? Who could do it? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. It says that in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what it said. It said, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't even comprehend it. This is the God that we're talking about. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else could offer you redemption. Nobody could do that. It said it came to his own, that his own didn't even know him. It said, but as many as received him, to them were given the opportunity to be called children of God. That's where the redemption comes in. Even if you didn't know him, I didn't know him, but even if you didn't know him, he says to you, if you believe on me, you will be a child of God, born not of blood, nor of man, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what the word says. That means you get redemption. That means you get an inheritance. You get a heavenly trust fund. Huh? I ain't never had an inheritance. I'm so glad I know Jesus. We get the inheritance through Jesus Christ. And I've repeated this over and over again, because even an unsaved person should understand what an immense blessing it is to be given redemption through Jesus Christ. Think about what I just said. Some of you have been following religion. You've been following men, and you've been following movements, but you haven't been following Jesus. Guess what? Now you have a chance for redemption, to have your sins washed away. Maybe you've made mistakes. My family was with the Nation of Islam for I don't know how many years. I went to Temple Number 2 in Chicago, Illinois, and my mother and father believed, but guess what? They were not following the true word of God. And that's the truth. No matter how you slice it, they're the inerrant word of God. And you've got to understand that. No slight on anybody. If you want the truth, I pray that you find it, because I wanted the truth. I wanted the truth. And I just couldn't deal with folklore. I couldn't deal with some of the Bible and not all of the Bible. I don't think I have to go to a Quran and then go to a Bible to get the rest of it. Why would I have to go to a Bible to get the rest of it? Why don't I just go to the Bible and get all of it? See, that's how I look at it. I shouldn't have to slice up a sweet potato pie and slice the ingredients. All the ingredients are right there in it. It's right. That's what I needed at the time. And so that's what you need to think about when we're comparing things. What does Jesus say? What does the Word of God say?
Amen. It's the Lord's will that none shall perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today is the day of salvation. You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Previous broadcasts, along with today's message, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love connecting with our listeners. Like and connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And listen, if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Share your testimonies on our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. And as a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide is praying for you and trusting the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong. During these troubling times, know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone, frustrated, or in need of encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 707-759-5244. We also invite you to Sunday worship services live on Periscope at 1 p.m. Services are also available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We encourage you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesday as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Now is the Time for Redemption with Pastor Joel. Until next time.
Got to serve somebody, might as well.